Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Please open your Bibles, Bible apps, bulletins to the book of Mark, chapter 6. We're in Mark, chapter 6, and we'll read from verse 32 to 44. And I do believe all of it is in our bulletin today. So that's a good thing. But as usual, I'll be preaching from most of the chapter. So keep that handy. We're going to read a very famous story. And most of you have likely heard of it. And if it's your first time to hear it, oh, I'm so happy for you. This is one of the best stories. So I'll read from verse 32, and please join me at verse 37, verse 37. So I'll read from 32, and you'll join me at 37. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place, but many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. And by this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," and they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. Please join me." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. You had to elongate the 5,000 because that's a lot of people. 5,000. The very words of God. Amen? Amen. So our subject today is on kingdom provision. Kingdom provision. And for those of you who have been with us throughout this year, most of our sermons are entitled Kingdom Something. Something about the kingdom of God as we're going through the Gospels, following Pastor Hiroshi as he preaches on the kingdom of God. And today, maybe you think, oh, great, Chris is going to preach about if I have faith, if I believe, if I'm a good person, God will give me not only what I need, but what I want. God will give me prosperity, security, significance. That's why God is here, to give to me blessing and blessing and blessing. And if that's what you're here for, I'm sorry, I'll disappoint you today. And I know it's not my first time and won't be my last, so... yes, God is here to bless. God gives, He's a giver. He loves to bless. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave. He gives. But what did he give? Did he give security? Did he give fame? Did he give riches? Did he give honor in society? He gave his son. So let me ask you this very one important question. What satisfies you? What makes you happy? What fills you to the point where you need nothing more? What is it? What is it? So Jesus has come. As the Bible tells us, he comes as a king, returning. And when a king comes to a people are known as his kingdom, as they are his people. And so when he comes, he's going to come and he's going to show us all about who his people are and what his people are going to do. And not only that, he's going to show his people how he provides for them. And in this story, we have a beautiful picture. Jesus doesn't just tell us, but he shows us. He shows us in the most beautiful way how he provides for us. And so I'm going to give us some background to it as I go through. I want to give you three things that he shows about the kingdom and how he provides. But then I want to show us also three other things that he shows us about himself. So there's three things about the kingdom's, the people of the kingdom. And there's three things about the king himself, because that's what the kingdom is about. It's about the king. The first two, are kind of applications. The third is kind of a warning. First of all, things about his kingdom. Pastor Hiroshi is going to preach this message in a couple of weeks. I've decided to jump ahead of him a little bit. And he's going to entitle this message, Kingdom Multiplication. Because what we have here is Jesus multiplying an amazing thing, some bread and some fish. For how many people? 5,000 people. A lot of people. Five pieces of bread, 5,000 people. Actually, we read in the last verse there, 5,000 men is how Mark counted it. The reason why it's 5,000 men is that's how you numbered families. And so men were a representative of their family, maybe their spouse, their mothers, their mother-in-laws, their kids. And so you take 5,000 men, you multiply that by two or three, four, you've got quite a bit of people. You've got a stadium full of people. And if you go over this mountain onto the other side, you come to a place called the Big Arch, which is the soccer stadium. It holds about 20,000 people. And if you could imagine all of that filled plus the field, that's how many people had come to see Jesus. And so Jesus has taken these five loaves and these two fish, and he's multiplied them. And what's the first thing that we see about how he does this that relates to our life in the kingdom? It's this. When you're running short, when you don't have enough, when God has called you or called his people to do and to serve, and it is inadequate, he doesn't just come out of the sky and boom, there's all the food. He doesn't just open up a literal window in heaven and say, boom, here it is. He doesn't rain down bread from heaven, literally. He did that before. He doesn't have to do it anymore. And I'll tell you why in a minute. But what happened? The disciples, they're freaking out. They see all these people. And they're running the Excel, the numbers. They've got their spreadsheets. And they're saying, all these families, 5,000 families, that's going to take a year, or half a year, maybe a year's wages, 200 denarii is the literal word. And they're crunching the numbers, and Jesus is saying, forget the numbers. you still don't have enough. And he says, just take what you have. What do you have in your hand? So they're looking around, they find a little boy, John tells us, and the little boy has some dried fish and some bread. By the way, that dried fish, that bread, the Filipinos know what that is. The Filipino, we have dried salted fish, the tuyo, daing. I could eat that all day. All I need is some tuyo and some rice, maybe some soy sauce, and I'm good. That's what kind of fish they had, just kind of dried, salted fish. And it was the bread, the barley bread. We, the Filipinos, we eat it with rice, but they didn't have rice back there. They had grain, barley grain. It was the grain of the poor. And it was kind of like flat, kind of a flat piece of bread, and kind of brownish, and wasn't very soft and fluffy like the white bread. And that's what this little boy had. That's not going to feed 5,000 families. But anyways, Jesus says, what do you have? And they say, well, we've got this. And Jesus multiplied that. You see, first application is this. Jesus will take what we have. It will never be enough. Please understand that. It will never be enough. If you think you have enough, then your dreams, your goals, your ministry, your service, it's not big enough. It should never be enough. It should be inadequate. I had a dream one night. I was very troubled. I've told this story before. And I was new at my job, and I felt like I just didn't, everything I was doing didn't work. And we were busy at home with the family, and I felt like I was being a bad husband. And I was also preaching up here, and I felt like, man, I never have time enough to prepare for sermons, and whenever I preach, it's never enough. And I was just troubled, and everything was swirling. And in my dream, all of that was kind of mixing around. And then I woke up in the morning, and a word came to me. There was a word. It was a beautiful word. And the word was, Chris, you're inadequate. You don't have enough. And when I heard that word, I just said, thank you, God. Thank you so much, because you've pinpointed exactly all of the things I've been trying to figure out. Because I was trying to be adequate. I was trying to be enough. I was trying to do all of it. And God said, why? You're not supposed to do it all yourself. This is the kingdom of God. If you're my subject, if you're my son, you give it to me. You let me multiply it. You let me be adequate. And in your inadequacy, I will show that I am adequate. And I said, yes, that's exactly what I needed. Can I share something with you about our church? I'm not trying to brag about our church. I just want to encourage and uplift us. We have a thing 4 times a year. It's called Mission Sunday. And we support an orphanage in Guatemala. We also support the missionary family called the Records in Cambodia. And every 3 months, we dedicate all of the offering on that Sunday to the orphanage and the mission. And this is about the average attendance of our English service, maybe 20, 25 people. And it's never a lot of people. And I'm always hoping that when we have a Mission Sunday, you know, those 4 times a year, I'm hoping it's one of those Sundays where there's a lot of people. Like, you know, there's people in every row and every pew, and, you know, so that, you know, we can get as much money for Guatemala and for Cambodia. And the last Mission Sunday, it was fewer than this. I distinctly remember it was less than 20, maybe 15. We're just between 15 and 10. And I was like, Lord, what's going on? I thought, you know, we're trying to do something for your kingdom. And I just felt like, okay, we would collect about 70,000, not a man yen, 70,000 about average on a good Sunday when we collected for Mission Sunday, just in this group. And I was like, oh, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work. So last Mission Sunday was May 19th, and we collected 89,610 yen, almost 90,000 yen, with, I think, the fewest number of people. And I just remembered, yeah, that's the kingdom. God was showing me. It's never going to be enough, but Jesus will multiply it. And I don't know who gave all those extra 1 man yen bills. I don't know who. It wasn't me. But somebody, just God moved with compassion, with love, and somebody was pouring out some cashola. And I just thought, yes, that's how God does it. He multiplies what's already there, and he makes it enough. At first, it's never enough, but he makes it enough. That's the first thing we see with this. The second thing we see is Jesus provides perfectly when we serve him. He provides just the right amount when you're serving him. You see, what happened was, I need to go back to that scripture. If you're going to look with me, and it's not in your bulletin, it's a little bit further up in the text, so you need to open your Bible. It says that in verse 30, we started at verse 32, but in verse 30, the apostles gathered around Jesus, reported to him all that they had done and taught. What happened earlier in this chapter, and I preached on it a few weeks ago, Jesus had sent out his 12 disciples. He said, go, do what I've been doing. Teach, preach, heal, cleanse. Do it all in my name and do it good. And then so they went out and they were just doing awesome things in the name of God. And then in verse 30 it says, they came back and told him all that they had done and taught. And in verse 31, then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have enough chance to eat, he said to them, all right, come with me by yourselves to the quiet place and get some rest. He said, guys, come in, tell me what happened. And they're saying, Jesus, all this great stuff happened. And then in the middle of their talk, they're talking to Jesus, people are coming in with their sickness, with their pain, and they're saying, Jesus, can you heal us? Jesus, can you help us? And he's like, yeah, okay, great. And he can't have any private time with his 12 disciples. He says, okay, guys, let's go. You need rest. You've been serving me. Let's take a break. They can wait. And so now Jesus is going to take them somewhere to where they can be alone. And that's where we pick it up. And so he gets them in a boat and they go kind of where their hometown was, to a place called Bethsaida. But what happens was the crowds, they follow him. They say, oh, they're getting in the boat? Where are they going? They're going that way? Okay. And they take off. And the movement comes, and before you know it, families and hundreds and thousands and thousands, and it's 5,000 families. And so when we read, they land, and there's all this people. And Jesus, he's so compassionate, he says, okay, let's do some work. But those 12 disciples, it says they couldn't even eat. They're working so hard. They're giving all that they have. They don't have time to eat. Maybe they've ate something on the boat. We don't know. But they get off the boat, there's no time for that. And so Jesus is doing the work. He's healing. He's teaching. He's preaching. And now, I don't know about you, but when I'm hungry, now homie knows, I get irritable. I get disagreeable. It's not a good thing when we're hungry. And so I could just imagine the disciples, they're watching Jesus, great, doing awesome things. And they come to Jesus, they say, Jesus,
It's late in the day.
No watches.
Jesus, it's late in the day. And they said, can you send them off? They need to eat. It's not me, but they need to eat, Lord. And so Jesus says, all right, you go ahead. Give them something to eat, because he knew what was going on. And so they got no food. And so Jesus does this great miracle. And then at the end, we read it together. He says, okay, now let's collect the baskets. And the baskets, people disagree. They agree, disagree. Some people think it's like big baskets, you know, maybe the fishing baskets. They put the fish in there. Some people say it's like baskets like this, about this big. And my guess, it's like this. Why? Because Mark doesn't tell us the size of the baskets. What does he tell us? He tells us the number of the baskets. So it could be big baskets, it could be small baskets, whatever. What's important is the number. Why is the number important? How many baskets? 12. How many disciples? 12. What were the disciples wanting more than anything? Some food. So Jesus was saying, look, I'm going to multiply it. You serve me. You do what I ask you to do. You're going to get exactly what you need out of it. You're hungry. You need some rest. You need some resources. You give me what you have. And in return, you're going to get exactly what you need. That's the second thing. That's kingdom provision. That's the kingdom of God. He's not just looking out for the people, but he's looking out for those of us who are willing to serve. And if you're going to give to Jesus, you're going to serve Jesus, he's going to take care of you. In the end, it was the end of the story. He will take care of you. Because why? We just sang it. You are so faithful, my God. You see, that's how Jesus is in his kingdom. Okay, so the third thing is, it's a warning. You see, the miracles, they don't always, in the kingdom of God, they don't always lead to people becoming saved. They don't always result in, yes, Jesus is real, I want to be a Christian. They don't always happen that way. That's not what the miracles always ended up as having. What happened? Even with the disciples, if you're back in your Bibles, go ahead and jump down. Go ahead and go down to verse 52. This is something we didn't read, but this is a very important insight into what happened. Verse 52. They had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. This is the disciples. And I'm going to preach this text the next time I preach in a couple of weeks. But this is a very important insight into what happened. You see, Jesus is preaching, he's doing miracles, he's healing, he's feeding, and even the disciples are right there to see it. And it says right there in verse 52, they didn't understand. It was right in front of their eyes. But for some reason, their hearts were hard. They didn't understand what Jesus was trying to teach them. They didn't understand what Jesus was trying to show them. My friends, my dear brothers and sisters, your heart could be hard. You could experience miracles. You could experience beautiful testimonies, healing, preaching. You could be growing up in a wonderful church family. But here we see that it could mean nothing if your heart is hard. Is your heart hard? If Jesus is showing you something about yourself, no, it's not me, it's them. Yeah, I messed up that time, but man, I was tired, I was hungry, I was going through something. If Jesus is showing you something about yourself that you need to repent of, don't let your heart be hard. It's a warning to us. Okay? And so, you know, a lot of us, really, we want Hiroshima to change. We want God to come to Hiroshima. Not just Hiroshima, to our own families. We want God to save our brothers, our sisters, our mothers, our fathers. We want God to do. And some of us think, oh, Lord, if it was just a miracle or something, if you could just show them something amazing in the sky or on TV or something, God, let there be a big event, a revival. Then that would really, God, save them, right? Maybe not so. Maybe it's your testimony. Maybe it's your prayers. Maybe it's your love. Maybe it's your kindness to them. Maybe that's what it will take. Maybe that's the miracle, that you would actually love and be patient with them. I don't know. So those are just three things that we apply to ourselves, that God multiplies what it is that we have. It's never enough. Number two, God will take care of us in the end if we would be faithful. And number three, be careful. Don't let your heart be hard. But now I want to get to the good part of the sermon, and that is to talk about Jesus, the King. Three things I want to show you about the King. Okay, the first thing is this. Jesus, they're in the boat, and they're trying to get away from everybody. And they get off the boat, they get on the land, and there's everybody right there. And what happens to Jesus? Oh, man. Trying to get away. Can't I just get a minute, Lord? If your parents, if a parent of one child, you understand. Oh, just 1 minute. Just somewhere, a closet, a bathroom. Just give me a break. And but then, no, they don't care about the bathroom. They'll just open it right up and, hey, what are you doing in there? But Jesus is amazing. What does he do? What does he have? It says there, I don't remember the verse. It's the one word that describes Jesus best in all of the Gospels. It's verse 34. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them. Ah, hallelujah, hallelujah. This is the compassion. This is right here, if you would just look. It's right here. This is where it comes from. Jesus felt pain right here for the people. Sometimes I listen to testimonies right here, and I hear the trembling voices. I see the tears coming out, and I feel it. Not like Jesus, but I know Jesus feels it. And he saw the people. They're lost. They're lost. They don't know who to listen to. They have people who are preaching to them. They have healers. There's people, plenty of people trying to lead revivals. There's plenty of Bible teachers there. There's synagogues. They're Jewish. They're religious. They give a lot. We try to give 10%. They were giving about 20%. But they were still lost. And Jesus saw them. They were unhappy. They were miserable. They were poor. They had no one who would care for them. And Jesus said, okay, let me teach. And so what does he do? He teaches. That's his number one ministry. That's Jesus. You see, people would say, you know, Jesus was a great healer and a miracle worker. But the first thing he did, what did he do? Before he touched anybody, it says he taught them many things. Look, the people who are lost, the people who are desperate or in need, the number one thing they need is teaching from God. They need God to speak to them. That's what they need. That's it. That's Jesus' number one ministry. When you read the beginning of the Gospels, it said that Jesus would go out to people preaching and teaching. The kingdom of heaven is near. That was his number one thing. But what was it that motivated all of that teaching? It was his compassion. His compassion. And so I just want to encourage you. I want you to be built up, and I want you to know Jesus feels it. Does Jesus feel it? He feels it. Does Jesus understand? He feels it right here. Jesus Okay, it says there then, but how about now? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Does Jesus understand what you're going through? He feels it. Does Jesus see you in your room alone, just like, what am I going to do? Who do I even go to? Jesus feels that. Oh, he feels it, and oh, he wants to speak to you. He wants to reveal something to you. And so he wants to teach you. Now, I want to take just 1 minute and just be a loving pastor and give you a warning. I know all of us, we're savvy. We've got devices. We've got phones. We're on the iTunes, and we're on podcast networks, and we're on blogs, and we have lots of teachers. Lots of blogs and lots of authors, and I'm also on that boat. I love listening to podcasts. I love listening to sermons. I love listening to good teachers. I love listening and reading blogs. But I need you guys to be careful. I really do. I need you guys to be very careful who you listen to, whose teaching you're receiving, and where you're getting your information. And I just the number one thing I need you to do, I'm not going to say he's bad, he's a heretic, there, I'm not going to do that. I just need you to go one place with me. Whoever's teaching you the Bible, whoever you're listening to on the podcast, whoever blog you're reading, they need to go to one place, the cross. They need to preach that Jesus loved, lived, died, and resurrected. If you're getting that from your podcast, your blog, whatever, okay, I'm okay with that. But if you're getting Jesus came and he was a good man, Jesus came and he'll give you all that you need, you just got to have faith, Jesus comes to give peace and rest, and oh, there's no greater love than the love of God and all that, that's great, that's all good, that's wonderful. But if that's it, be careful. I'm giving you a warning. As a loving pastor, you need to get to this place. That's where the love of God is. No greater love has any man than this, that he lay down his life for his friend. Go to the cross, my friend. The number one ministry of Jesus was teaching, motivated by his compassion. Let me get to my last point. Okay, so this is the greatest miracle, aside from one thing, it's the resurrection. We've got four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the four Gospels of the New Testament. And there's lots of stories, lots of miracles, lots of things Jesus said, different angles. But there are two things that are in all four Gospels. There are two miracles each gospel writer records that they're so important. The first thing, it's the cross. That's the first thing. The second thing, this miracle. The feeding of the 5,000 families. So it's big. It's important. What do both of them have in common? Both of them are to show that Jesus is God. Okay? The cross shows that Jesus is God. The feeding of the 5,000 shows Jesus is God. You're not going to feed 5,000 families unless you're God. Okay? Now, I need to stress that Jesus is God because a lot of people will say he's a teacher, wonderful philosopher, great founder of a religion, shows you how to have peace and salvation. Just like Buddha, just like Muhammad, just like you fill it in. They show you the way to be happy. Jesus is not saying that. Jesus is not teaching you the way to be happy. If you do this, if you believe this, you will be saved. No. In this, Jesus is showing, I am salvation. Okay? I am your happiness. I am your security. Now, my goal was to just preach on Mark, but I have to cheat. In John chapter 6, Jesus is saying, you came for the bread, it satisfied you, you had all that you needed. But don't work for the bread that will not last. Work for the bread that does last forever, leads to eternal life. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread that came down from heaven. You see, a long time ago, before Jesus, there was a prophet named Moses. Moses took the people. He led them out of Egypt to freedom. They were in the desert going to their new land. They had no bread. They were in the desert. And Moses asked God, and God brought bread from heaven. Literally. And then Moses, later on in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, he says, look, I love you and I'm about to leave you. But in someday, there's going to come a prophet like me, just out of the people of Israel. Follow him. Listen to him. And so they understood when Jesus gave them all this bread, just like Moses, just like what they were talking about, just like God coming down. And Jesus is saying, don't look at the bread. Okay, the bread's good. I gave it to you. You eat all you could. It was wonderful. The bread is not that it. Because look, if I'm going to feed you, if I'm going to give you something to eat, don't you think I could give you a whole lot better things than bread? Think about this. Jesus, God, he's going to feed people. If I was that, I would be given not just barley bread. I would be given like, I don't know, some of that good bread they have at the bakeries, you know, with a sausage in it, some bacon in there, and like some good bread. And not just some fish, but like some lobster, you know, some, like, just go, let's go crazy. Let's go wild. But why is it just the bread? Because the bread is to point to something else. The bread is to show what Jesus is supposed to, he wants to show you. Him. He wants to be not just the bread giver. He wants to be God. He wants to be your satisfaction. I asked you the first question today. What makes you happy? What satisfies you? Is it everything that God can give you? Or is it God himself? And I need to repent, because often when I'm unhappy, when I'm dissatisfied, oh God, no one respects me. Nahomi doesn't listen to me. My kids are terrible. I don't have enough. I want more. Chris, what are you here for? What makes you happy? What satisfies you? What's your bread? What's your bread? And so I come to church and I sing the songs and I'm reminded once more, Jesus, you are my bread. You are my satisfaction. That's what you need. You don't need a teaching. You don't need the way to be happy. You need happiness himself. You need Jesus. And Jesus, that's what he did. He came to give himself to you. He didn't come to give you bread. He came to give you himself. Would you receive him? Would you take him into your heart and into your life? Would you do that?